more than bananas, how the Christian faith works for me and the whole universe. By Glenn Myers. Episode 4, The Fall, Part 1. So, how did we end up in the wrong universe when all our longing, and perhaps even our true home, is in some other universe, a perfect one? The traditional tale, which also happens to be the most powerful idea I've ever met to explain us contradictory humans, is the fall. We fell from an earlier perfection and the world fell with us. Perhaps we are still falling, going around a loop of fallenness like a computer program that has long stopped responding. We took a tumble from an ideal. We remember enough of the ideal to long to get back, but we've crashed so thoroughly we know we never can. Anthropologists tell us this idea raises its head all over the world. Our ancestors mucked up with God and perfection. We suffer as a result. A West African tribe ceremonially holds its spears horizontally because its forefathers used to hold them vertically, but they poked God and ruined everything. The Sumerians believed the gods sent a flood, which also ruined everything, because their forefathers were making too much noise. The classic account of fall is surely John Milton's epic poem, Paradise Lost. But that, of course, is only a stunning poetic riff of his true source, the Book of Genesis, that ancient, powerful, extraordinary overture in the front of the Bible, just after, in the old Bibles, the toadying dedication to King James of Scotland and England. This is the great story that has embedded itself into our Western society. Half forgotten, it still haunts us. Two things have to be said about it. The first is, it slices us humans open like a trout before a fish knife. Or at least, it seems to explain me pretty well. Second is, it's completely impossible to believe, when taken literally, unless you stick your fingers in your ears and go la 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 to everything else you've ever been taught and to common sense itself. Human fallenness is such a life-changing insight that many good people do indeed do this, preferring this reality to the others on offer. But we need to find a less drastic and less socially awkward option. It helps a bit to know that the theological rock stars of the past 2,000 years have not taken the early chapters of Genesis literally. Footnote. Origen, Basil of Caesarea, Gregory of Nyssa, and Augustine, for example. Much later, Thomas Aquinas cautioned against exposing the Bible to ridicule by treating it as a scientific treatise. End of footnote. It helps a bit more to think of Genesis using the redolent phrase before theology. These stories were being told around campfires long before abstract theological discourse had been invented. The first bearded theologian was still to be born long after Genesis's stories had captured hearts and minds. Obviously, theologians are not born bearded, but you know what I mean. As a species, they hadn't evolved yet. They first needed Plato to arise and invent philosophy, and then they were up and running. Do you want to know who you are and where you came from, or what you are and what you are to do? A story's best. That's what Genesis does, and nothing better is on the market. It's a story we all think we know, and we think it's about sex, but it isn't. You could argue it's about good sex and bad sex, for which, for further details, I really urge you to read Milton, but it's honestly not about sex at all. In the opening Genesis story, In what must have been an unusually productive week, even for God, he creates everything in 6 days. Humans last, with us evidently the cherry on the Belgian bun, greatest of his works. We are cosmic dust, but alone of all creation, we are also infused with the life of God. We are made in God's image, which perhaps means we think how he thinks and do what he does, only on a smaller scale. In short, we do what the animals don't do, what evolution would never evolve us to do. And it's all good. The perfect world, all love, no pain. The fall comes straight afterwards. It's important to underline, given that alarmingly large numbers of people in the world are so-called creationists, to note that the Bible itself is clearly telegraphing at this point, do not take me literally. Take me seriously, but not literally. For example, Adam is a name that no one else is ever given in the Bible because it's not a name at all. It's the Hebrew word for human or humankind. Eve sounds a bit like living. The only two trees named in the Garden of Eden are metaphors, not woody perennials. The tree of life and a tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Apples are not involved. A snake talks, and Eve chats with him, rather than jumping a foot in the air and gasping, "Did you just say something?" Oh, and God wanders about the garden in the early evenings. So it's a story of humankind and his delightful partner, living, egged on by a talking snake, eating from the metaphorical tree of knowledge of good and evil, which, importantly, God said don't eat from. In a single, fateful munch, humankind and living freely chose to rebel against God and shun and hide from him. They only had one thing not to do, strike out in proud independence, but they did it. At the root of us, teaches Genesis, is a rejection of God and his ways, and an enormous sense of regret. Thus, Adam and Eve are portrayed as first choosing a path that has now been trampled by all humanity's billions of footsteps. Much then happens. Humans fail to eat of the tree of life, despite God having put it in the very centre of the garden as a kind of hint. So death stalks each of us. By rejecting God and his immediate presence, humans make themselves unfit for the garden, and they are obliged to leave. They blame each other. Not only is their relationship with God fractured, so is their own marriage. Startlingly, around them, the universe itself morphs into a hard place with thistles and pain, ruled by that dictator, death. Somehow, hardened humans harden creation. Our rebellion, like a bad smell, permeates even the soul and the galaxies and the laws of physics. When humanity turned from God, Genesis tells us, we lost sight of God's face, became cruel to each other, and took creation down with us. But we kept our longings for the garden. That's why we feel we're in the wrong universe. We still know the loss and muddle and pain. So that's the end of part one of the fall.